putting us on your schedule and making it so that you can be with us this morning. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you for letting us report back.
Yes, sir.
Did you see that? I snuck a handshake in there. All right. I'm excited about being here and reporting back and let you know what you're up to. You know, many times while we serve God, we do it just like God says. Our right hand doesn't know what our left hand's doing. So I'm going to be doing some reporting back even during the sermon. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the story of the three bears. Now, when I was a little kid, my mom told me the story of the three bears. But this is a different story. Pastor's already got it. Where are you at, Pastor? Galatians chapter 6, the story of the three bears. All right. Who's going to find the first bear? Read it to us. Verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's the first bear. Bear ye one another's burdens. What's God talking about there? You know, Jesus taught us this with His very life, didn't He? He came, He bore our burdens on the cross, paid our sin debt that we couldn't handle, that we could have never paid. All we need to do is accept what He did for us. Let Him bear our burdens. Once we're in a church, we bear one another's burdens, don't we? And that's part of being in a church. Noticing when someone needs help and stepping in and helping them out. My mother-in-law came home from the hospital yesterday. And I met her in the garage at the car, opened her car door, helped her out, helped her in the house, had my hand under her arm. She's very weak. She needed help. We need to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, right? We had in Trenchtown not too long ago, before I came home, we had a lady, and she came to me. She said, and she was saved many years before because of bearing her burdens, and she realized that God cared about her. See, she came to Trenchtown one day, and she's walking along and going in a roundabout, and I saw her. And I had just finished my day. So I'm getting ready to go home. It's starting to get dark. And you want to be out of Trenchtown at dark. Don't want to be there after dark. Not a good thing. So I'm leaving and I'm driving around this little roundabout. And she's walking on the inside of the roundabout, headed home. And I thought, she doesn't look right. See, this black lady, who's normally very dark black, was gray. That's a weird color for a person. So I stopped the car and I got out. I said, how you doing? She said, oh, I'm not feeling real well. I'm going home. I'm going to get some rest. And I said, you look terrible. Don't you love telling people they look terrible? I said, you look terrible. I think you need to go to the hospital. She said, no, I've been at the hospital all day. And they had too many people. Finally, at 5 o'clock, they came out and told us if we hadn't been treated, go ahead and go home, because they can't treat us today. There are too many people today to be treated. So she'd headed back home, feeling miserable. And I talked to her. I said, well, what's the problem? She said, I don't know. You know, she was pregnant, and she's just having trouble and just felt miserable. I said, get back in the car. Let's go back to the hospital. I think you need to go to the hospital. Put her in our van and carried her down to the hospital. Got there and took her in. I said, now, she was here before and didn't get treated, but this woman needs attention now. She's in very bad shape. So they went ahead and took her in and took her to the emergency room and began to check her out and discovered she was having a miscarriage. So they put her on the ward where the ladies are that are having miscarriages. I went home and got Jan, and we went back down to the hospital, got some stuff together because they don't have a lot of stuff for you in the hospital there. In fact, one time I went to the hospital, I had we'd had a hurricane, and I had overextended myself and sweated too much and got too depleted, and my daughter happened to be there, who's a nurse, and she said, Dad, we need to take you to the hospital. Took me to the hospital, and when we found out, if you go to the hospital, you need to take your own towels, your own soap. They do have sheets. If you want the nurses to wash their hands when they come in the room, you have to have soap for them. Otherwise, they don't wash their hands. They don't have soap. But I took this lady back there, so Jen and I went to get some things so that she could be eased during the night, got her something to drink, got her a little bit of things to eat, and took down the hospital, went to the maternity ward where the one ward, and they have open wards. It's kind of like the church here. And rather than pews, they have beds. And that night in the maternity ward, in the maternity ward where they were miscarrying, they had every bed full. In fact, every bed had three ladies miscarrying in it. Two heads at one end, one head at the other end. Writhing in pain. And so we took her some things there. We prayed for her and for several other people, and we headed back home. She did miscarry. But somebody had bore her burden, and she couldn't get in and get seen, and she needed seen then. So years later, she comes back to the church. She's a church member by it. She got saved, got baptized, been attending a long time. She came to church not too long ago. She said, Brother Rex, please pray for me. I got kicked out of where I was staying. I can't stay there anymore. Last night I spent it on the street. I need a place to stay. I went to my mom's house, and mom said, no, you left here, you can't come back. So I slept out on the street last night, but I need a place to stay. I said, well, we'll pray for you. Pray that God provides. That Sunday also, one of the elderly ladies came up who was saved when I met her, but I got to baptize her, and she became one of the charter members of our church, Mrs. Johnson. She came to me, she said, Pastor, you know, both my granddaughters are out of the house, and man, I am so lonely. I just need somebody to talk to sometimes. Can you come and talk to me? I said, sure. So I went by that week and talked to her, and went into her house. Knocked on the door, she let me in, got in there, and my eyes started burning. I couldn't hardly breathe. She said, Pastor, I'm getting older now. I can't clean as well as I used to. It was obvious. She said, sometimes I'm hungry and I can't cook. Just don't feel well enough to cook. And it's very lonely here now. My granddaughters are gone, and I'm very lonely. I need someone here. And I said, I'll get back with you. I went and talked to our one lady, and I said, can you clean house and can you cook? And she said, of course. I'll be back. Talk to Mrs. Johnson. I said, she can help you. She gave her a place to stay, and she cleans Mrs. Johnson's house and cooks and helps out, and she's a friend. Mrs. Johnson's not so lonely now. I can go in Mrs. Johnson's house now. My eyes don't burn. I can breathe. It's kind of pleasant in there now. Bear ye one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. You know, sometimes God shows us something to do, and rather than bear our burden, we try and pass it off on somebody else. I'm sure you're sitting there saying, I've never done that. Had a lady come to the church not too long ago. She says, Pastor. I said, yes. She said, they had a party out in the street last night. They threw a bunch of trash over your fence. I looked out in the yard, there's a whole pile of trash out there. Partygoers had thrown on the churchyard. And she said, I just wanted you to know. And I said, man, that is such a blessing. She said, what? I said, I'm so glad God showed you that. She said, well, I thought you ought to know. And I said, yeah, but you know, when God shows you something, He has you to do that. He showed you something to do. So, oh no, I meant to come and show you so you could clean it up. Sometimes we pass our burdens off on other people, don't we? Bear ye one another's burdens. Say, well, Pastor needs to keep the yard clean. You know what? I'm going to help him. Bear ye one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. You see, He bore my burdens on the cross. He died and paid my sin debt. Not only did He change my heart, He changed my life. Not only did He change my life, He changed my eternity. How about you? Have you accepted Christ as Savior yet? Bear ye one another's burdens. God wants us to put our whole heart into it. Wait a minute, that's not your heart, is it? Have you trusted Christ as Savior? There's your heart. Washed white as snow. That's the heart Jesus gives us. Jesus wants us to put our whole heart into bearing one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. He taught us so well. Gave Himself, didn't He? That's all He wants from us. And He's our Lord and our God, isn't He? He deserves no less. We can put our whole heart into serving Him by serving one another. So fulfill the law of Christ. As we read on, where's the next bear? Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. You know, once you trust Christ as Savior, that should put a burden on your heart. This message is so incredible, it has changed my eternity. Shouldn't there be a burden there to change others' eternity? God, what part can I share in this? Going and telling. Giving so others can go. Having a part in the ministry there like you do in Jamaica. There in Jamaica, you've given. One girl started coming to our church. Her mother really didn't like it. But then she went overboard. See, we're sitting in youth one day and she's reading the Bible and realized God's talking about me. And she said, Pastor, can I ask God to save me? I said, yes. She bowed her head and asked God to save her soul. He changed her eternity. She was so excited about it. She's one of them people that are always one of the ones speaking up first and always active and so active. Wasn't too long and her best friend found out her mother had cancer. And she found out way too late. They couldn't do anything for her and they gave her about 2 weeks to a month. So she said to her friend, you need to come to church with me. There's something there you need. God loves you. And I don't know why He's letting your mother die, but you need to know about Him. She brought her to church, to youth meeting. Her best friend, named Peaches. Peaches came to youth meeting, and she brought her there, and she said, Pastor, I brought her here so that you could show her the gospel and explain to her how God can be her God and hold her heart in His hands. And I said, I have some good news for you, Bianca. Because God had washed Bianca's heart white as snow. And she had a message that she knew in her head. And she brought her friend to hear the message. I said, guess what? You can tell her. Because He's your God. And she began to take her friend through the Romans Road. And before long, Peaches bowed her head and trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. And it was 2 weeks that her mother passed away. But she had someone to lean on because her best friend took her to church. Now, that's a best friend, isn't it? Took her to find Jesus. That's someone you reached and someone who's been reached because of who you reached. That's how it's supposed to work, isn't it? We win people in the neighborhood, and before long, not only are people here that you led to the Lord, but people that they led to the Lord are here too. That's an exciting thing for a church. Bianca came, and you know, she's always life and always exciting and always stirring up trouble. But she came to church one day and she's quiet, very reserved, and that's not like her. She was late that day. Normally she's 15, 20 minutes early, but she came about 40 minutes late for youth. Only about 20 minutes left. She came and she sat down. She was very quiet and didn't talk to anybody. I kidded her a little bit, tried to get her to come out of her shell and talk, and she was in a shell. And I said, Bianca, what's happened? She said, I don't want to talk about it. Before long, I was teaching there and walked around behind the kids and saw Bianca's shirt and blood was coming through her shirt. I told Jan, take Bianca in the room there. Look and see what's going on. Then we took Bianca to the hospital. See, her mother's not happy. She trusted Christ and her life has changed. And her mother's so angry that she loves church. And she loves God. And her mother would always come up with stuff for her to do right before she left. And she'd come up with stuff for her to do. And then she got really mad that Bianca did it quick and wanted to come to church anyway, even late. She took a machete and she beat her daughter with a machete. Then she came to the only place where she had refuge. We took her to the hospital. Filed paperwork. You know what? In her family, Bianca was a dirty dog for turning her mother in for beating her with a machete. She didn't really turn her in. The hospital kind of did. There are people with no hope unless you take the gospel to them. They may be in your neighborhood still yet. I was surprised one day when I was at Tulsa Baptist Temple. Associate pastor came out and there was a girl sitting on the steps of the church. I thought, that's strange. Went over to talk to her. Teenager. Lived in America her whole life. And guess what? No one had ever shared the gospel with her. She said, you know, I've never been inside a church in my whole life. But I wanted to come and see. I didn't realize they locked churches. She tried to come in and our doors were locked. So I sat on the steps of our church and shared the gospel with her, and her eternity changed. She began to bring people from her school to church because she had something that went to the root and whole of her heart and changed her eternity. Someone bore their burden to give her the message. We have a burden to spread the Word of God, to spread God's love, to spread salvation. We have it. Our hearts are white as snow. Let's share that. There's enough white for everyone. Look down in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17. There's your third bear. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now God inspired Paul to write that there, but what marks did he have in his body of the Lord Jesus? He'd been beaten for the cause of Christ with a cat of nine tails. He had scars in his back where he'd been whipped. He had scars on his arms and legs and probably his whole body from being stoned. You know, I pictured in my mind the whole time I'm growing up someone being stoned, just people throwing rocks at him. You know, one day in Trenchtown, they found somebody in a house they weren't supposed to be in, and they determined to stone him. And I found out what stoning was. And they're picking up rocks that take two hands to pick up and trying to break a guy's head in and break his arms and legs. And the whole community's chasing him around, running him down, beating him down, and throwing rocks. And oh, horror of horrors, stoning. Paul was stoned until there's a pile of rocks on him and they left him for dead. And he crawls out from under there by himself. He bore in his marks the body of the Lord Jesus. Serving God. He bore in his marks the body because he prayed for those he reached. That's a mark of Jesus. He read the scriptures, memorized the scriptures. God even used him to write the scriptures. He bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you? What about me? When people say your name, do they know you're trusting in the Lord God Almighty? Do they know He's your Lord and your God? Does our life show that? In situations that only God can get us through, we trust Him to do that? Minor and major. You know, too many times we think we can do the minor stuff. No, our Lord and our God wants us to trust Him for everything and work through us for everything. And that's the marks of the Lord Jesus, praying for one another, praying for the lost, bearing your own burden. That's a mark of the Lord Jesus. Bearing one another's burden, that's a mark of the Lord Jesus. Taking the gospel around the world so you can change people's eternity. That's a mark of the Lord Jesus. My daughter did a poster one time in a mission conference, and she said, missionaries love God so much, and she did an airplane with all of us in the airplane. She said, they will leave home to serve Him. When's the last time you had somewhere to go and you're on your way and you see someone who needs help or needs the gospel and you stopped and put them first? Because that's what Jesus did with you and me, isn't it? He stopped and put us first. As we've gone to Jamaica, we've seen God do some incredible things through you and your giving. You have many people in heaven. When I went to Jamaica, I didn't think about the people who would be in heaven because of your witness. But I've seen it. I've met them. I've led them to the Lord. And I've preached their funeral. Funeral of someone who would have died and gone to hell, but you were there, sharing His love with your giving and your going with us. We thank you for those prayers. God hears and answers. God wants to use you mightily today, this week, this year. As you look at your life, all stand, every head bowed, and every eye closed. Are the three bears there in your life? Are you bearing one another's burdens? Are you bearing your own burden? Are you bearing in your body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have that time with Him every day? Do you take your praises to Him as well as your problems? Let's spend time with God now.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time together around your word and the challenge that we've been given. And as your word is spoken to our heart, may we respond appropriately and accordingly this morning. Thank you for the challenge. Thank you for the responsibility that you've relayed and reminded us of this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As the piano plays, Brother Matt, what are we going to sing this morning? 157. If you'd like to sing along, the Lord spoke in your heart.